Worldwide. It's the Progressive Radio Network. My name is Mark Farrell. Crazy Thursday. Unbelievable Thursday. Big accident in Hoboken, New Jersey. New Jersey Transit. We're hoping there's no fatalities. It's kind of put a snarl on all traffic around the area, including myself. I've got here about 10 seconds before this mic went hot. A little out of breath, a lot sweaty, but we got a great show coming your way. Unbelievable show. You heard about the new Beatles movie. It's doing really, really incredible. And we're going to hear from the person, Michelle Spitz, a friend of the show, who did the audio description for this incredible movie that's been extended by a couple more weeks. We're going to be hearing from one of Freehold's own about Bruce Springsteen at the Barnes & Noble store in Freehold, New Jersey. That's right. His book came out on Tuesday, a few days after his 67th birthday. 67 years old! Can you believe that? Hard to fathom. We're also going to hear from Muffy Davis, seven-time Paralympian medalist Muffy Davis, who was at the Rio Paralympics, and she's going to share a lot of insight and comments. But I want to talk to you for a few minutes. Oh, by the way, the show is the Progressive Radio Network. That's the network, I should say. My name is Mark Farrell. Slowly getting his act together. And it's Thursday in New York City. 11 minutes after 11 on a fall day, a real fall day. Actually, you had to wear a jacket today. Unbelievable. Always like to hear your input. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And also Mark and MarkFarrellMotivation.com. Mark and MarkFarrellMotivation.com. So I had a birthday. We all do. This one was on September 25th, and this was kind of a milestone birthday. Yeah, it was a milestone birthday, so much so that my wife put something very, very creative together. A bunch of video clips that are from friends and family that shared a lot of poignant and heartfelt, I don't know, memories, but more about their, I guess, their opinions and perspective of me, and it was just, it was grand. It was unbelievable. So I turned a big 5-0, and what is a 5-0 supposed to be about? I don't know. You know, I don't feel anything like it. I feel like I don't look it. I certainly don't, you know, act it in any shape or manner. And that's not saying that I'm immature. I just have a lot of energy, and I guess we're all kind of accustomed to the traditional 50-year-old roles where, you know, kind of men. This is a stereotype now. Potbelly men, gray hair, you know. Slowing down, but, you know, I'm just getting fired up, as you well know. You listen to the show, I got boundless energy. So it was a great, great event. We're actually going to be having, just because of timing, it just didn't work out this year, but in the springtime, because, you're whatever age you are for a year. So I said to my wife, let's have a big party in the springtime. You know, spring is in the air, everyone will be looking to get out, have a nice party outside, and we're going to do it right. But I just want to say, it made me realize, and I also take stock of this fairly often, so it's not like it was an awakening for me, but it's always nice to hear, and it also makes me think about the fact that I didn't have a party right away, because if you have a party right away, people are going to be like, oh, it's so great, you know, happy birthday, et cetera, love you, man, give you hugs, kisses, but they're not going to pull you aside and tell you right to your face like they would a camera saying just how special of a person you are to them for whatever reason, X, Y, and Z. And then that, I mean, 30 minutes later, that's how I woke up. My wife and kids woke me up and they said, we got something for you. So they showed me this movie and it was just amazing. I wasn't surprised on any level by all the niceties and pleasantries and very real, nothing like, you know, platitudes or anything of that nature. Because the people, you know, you surround yourself with, you want real people, right? That's what I want, real people, down to earth, who respect and love and like you for who you are and who you want to be and support you and also challenge you as well. Like, you know, I got some Trump supporter friends. I'm trying to win them over. I'm trying my best. Give me some time. I'll win them over, because obviously they must have been in a coma on Monday night. Oh, by the way, this Saturday night, SNL, their season premiere, you know they're going to have an absolute field day with the debates. I don't even think their material could even come close to what took place on Monday night between Hillary and Donald. But anyway, Alec Baldwin's back, and he's going to be the new Donald Trump, apparently all season long, and it sounds like it's going to be incredible. So stay tuned for that. But just, I bring this up again, my birthday, and we, once in a while, we all get caught up in our daily rituals and panicked to get to work, like I just was panicking for the last 45 minutes to get to work. And we forget about sometimes the circle of friends and family certainly near us. And we got to take stock of that because it's so important. It's so important. It's unbelievable. And you got to just take stock of that and really embrace that all the time. And I love when people are early. Hello, Michelle Spitz. She's not mic'd up yet. I was talking about her a few minutes later. She is a pivotal member behind the Beatles' new movie, the documentary, 8 days a week, the touring days, and we're going to get to her in just a few minutes. But just in a moment or two, we're going to hear from Muffy. She had the pleasure of being in Rio de Janeiro for the Paralympics. But again, taking stock, I turned 50. It's a banner year. It's been a banner ride. As you know, for the frequent listeners, you know, I've had a lot of bumps in my road. For the last 35 years or so, but we all have bumps, and they're all, you don't measure your bumps to other people because, you know, everyone has different life experiences, everyone handles them differently, but we all hope that we come out a little bigger, stronger, a little bit more Teflon-like, and more resilient. And, you know, you got to take, unfortunately, the bad comes with the good. And the more you live, the longer you live, certainly the more in your adult years you get, 30s, 40s, and 50s. Now, I can say that I'm in the 50s. It's funny, you know, when I talk to people and they're like, oh, yeah, I just met this person. And they're probably, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to describe them in their 50s. But now I'm in my 50s. And, you know, for like the last 6 months, you're essentially in your 50s. If you're 49 and a half or 49 three quarters, you know, it's like splitting hairs. So it's like, well, maybe they're 60. Yeah, I think they're probably 60 because now you're lumping yourself in that middle-aged cluster. And it's just so weird. I'm sure it's like everything else. You get accustomed to it, but it's unbelievable. So it's kind of interesting to find out that, you know, it's like anything else. It's just a new path down the road in life, and I embrace it. I really, really look forward to it. So if we think about the Paralympics, and I love this song, it always makes me want to start in the studio and do push-ups or anything like that. There we go. Michelle, put your headphones on. Enjoy the music. So the Paralympics, as you know, I'm a staunch supporter of. Always have been, always will be. As a matter of fact, if you ever want to read the history of the Paralympics, it's fascinating, fascinating. It's a great, great historical event that actually started as a totally different name, and I believe in 1950 or 1960. Please, I'm not going to even tell you to fact check me like Donald Trump. I will tell you I'm probably wrong. I'll put it out there. Anyway, so Muffy Davis is a good friend of mine, friend of the show. She was there, and she actually reported in live from Rio, and we have the pleasure of having Rio Muffy with us once again. Seven-time Paralympian, gold medalist, Muffy Davis. How the hell are you?
Hey, Mark, I'm great. It's great to be back, but what a fun event it was.
What was one of your most exciting moments?
Oh, man, that's a hard question.
Yeah.
The whole event is exciting. You know, I guess for me, it's always great to see with all the naysayers and, you know, you heard how much everyone was like, Rio's not ready and it's going to be a mess, and to see the success. And it really, it was awesome. They always pull it off. But the true heroes of the games, I think, were the people of Rio. They came out in force. They supported it amazingly. There was nothing like being in a stadium when a Brazilian broke a new world record, and that place just went crazy. It was awesome.
Goosebump moment, huh?
Yeah, as much as I am all about Team USA and go, it was pretty, pretty powerful and pretty fun to experience.
Well, we also want to hear from Allison Jones and Will Lockenauer, who Will, I believe, came in fifth place in his event that he was striving for. And Allison did pretty well as well, and we're going to hear from them down the road a little bit. But they were two guests of ours and friends of the shows, just as you are. But it was really, really exciting because, number one, is unprecedented, the coverage. And I want to hear your remark about that because, as a motivational speaker as well and a person who's done media and a person who is a staunch supporter of the Paralympics as well, I mean, you know, this is really, really important to you as well.
Right. It kind of felt for me like our tipping point. You know, in the U.S., people got to actually finally see these games and these amazing athletes and the athleticism. You know, it was. I mean, did you hear the record that there were the in the 1500 meters, the top three athletes would have won medals in the Olympics? I mean, that is how competitive the Paralympics are. These are full-time athletes. They work hard day in and day out. They are parallel to Olympic-level athletes. And so it was great for America to finally, you know, with NBC's coverage, get to actually see these athletes in competition and hear their stories and learn and get to admire them. And for me, the power of that is that what little kid sitting at home in a wheelchair with a disability has a relevant other. They can finally have someone that they can look up and be like, oh, I could do that.
Yes.
And there's someone that they can aspire to, because as much as it's great to see all of these, the Olympians and the able-bodied athletes, it's hard for a kid with a disability to actually internalize and see how they could be there. But now with the Paralympic movement and them actually seeing them compete, they can say, hey, that could be me someday.
It's so well said, Muffy, and I thank you for that rapture there. What I really enjoy as well is having people who are not even involved on any level just either stumbling across it or just realizing, wow, all these people with disabilities are capable of doing amazing things.
Yeah. No, it is. It's. I mean, the motto of the Paralympic movement is to try and help educate and bring social inclusion, you know, to bring inclusion, people with disabilities in and into our society, and realize that we're all just people and we all have things to offer. These are amazing athletes and we're using sports to help with that inclusion. But it will transform the country of Brazil and every country that the Paralympic movement's been to. It starts transforming the interaction with people with disabilities in their society.
Now, we know technology plays a pivotal role in every sport across the board. Now, obviously, you follow the Paralympics and the trials, et cetera, very, very closely. You were a top competitor for years. Was there anything in this games, particular games, that's been introduced in the last couple of years that really showed some dominance because of technological advances?
Oh, well, you know, there were all of those BMW commercials with the racing chair that I'm forgetting the athlete who was using it.
Oh,
I know
the
him well.
The stunt athlete?
Pardon?
He's a stunt man as well?
Oh, no. Well, it was Josh George, actually. It's who
the athlete was.
It was in the racing chair. And that was new. But really, honestly, the technology, the prosthetic technology had evolved so far. It was amazing to watch. I got to go see some of the long jumpers, one-legged, so they were amputees on one side, but they had their prosthetic leg, and my husband and I were there, and we were watching, and we don't know really a whole lot about it, but every one of them took off when they launched off on their jump off of their prosthetic leg, because it gives them so much more spring, I think, than an able-bodied leg would. So there is a mechanical advantage there, which was fascinating to watch, and they're jumping, you know, 6 meters. It was insane. They were crazy.
It's like they're utterly flying.
They were.
Yeah,
It's
pretty amazing. So now, not that we put a lot of emphasis on medals and counts and everything, but it's kind of interesting. Like when I look back at the last Summer Paralympics, 2 years ago, I should say 4 years ago, it was kind of equal in terms of our place. So USA, we came in fourth overall. And China came in first. So just bear with me here because I'd like to have your perspective on this. So we had 40 gold. China had 107. We had 44 silver, excuse me. China had 81. We had 31 bronze and China had 51. So pretty much across the board, they doubled us. How do you account for that?
Well, China is their whole team, Olympic and Paralympic, are all governmentally funded.
They are.
And the government, we're the only country that isn't. We're, you know, our USOC is privately funded. It's a nonprofit. It's not funded at all by our government. So we have to raise all the money for all our athletes. So there's an advantage there in that those athletes in China are, once they're identified and talent ID, they are taken care of and raised to the bar because there's an expectation that if they're going to spend this money on them, they're going to win medals. They had a larger athlete pool as well. But it is definitely, for me, honestly, Mark, it's something that's not okay. I know that we have the same amount of talent here in America of athletes with disabilities. So I'm on the Paralympic Advisory Committee, and one of the things that we are working on in this next couple of years is our long-range strategic plan in the next 25 years because, again, fourth place isn't okay for me. I know that we can be on top of that podium. We are in the Olympics, and there's no reason in the Paralympics that we shouldn't as well. Financing is the biggest challenge, and then going out and talent IDing, finding those athletes, finding them from those little kids. But this is the first time, again, like I said, now there are kids that were sitting in their chairs or visually impaired or other disabilities that didn't think they could play sports or didn't know it was an option. Now they know. And now we hopefully can go out and capitalize on that and find a whole new generation of athletes to come up through the movement.
That's fantastic. How long have you been part of the committee, the advisory committee?
For 2 years.
And how do you feel that the International Paralympic Committee fared? How was their performance during the Olympics in Rio, Paralympics?
Oh, I'm always amazed. You know, I'm blessed. I got to know the president of the IPC, Sir Philip Craven, and Chave, the CEO, because they were both very involved in Salt Lake 2002, where I was. So and I'm also on the Women in Sport Committee through the IPC. So I'm very familiar with them and involved. And it was not easy working with the Rio Organizing Committee with all the budget constraints and all of that. It was very challenging, but the IPC rose to the top. They did an amazing job. And like I said, I mean, there was through the Fill the Seats campaign. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but they raised over $450,000 to bring in Brazilian people, kids and people with disabilities to get in to see the games. And I mean, you saw opening ceremonies. It started off amazing and
phenomenal.
It went all the way through. Was a spectacular event, regardless of the financial challenges or, you know, it was a challenge for us personally. It was hard. We spent a lot of time in the car because the venues were so far out and the traffic was just, you know, it's a busy city, 6 million people. It's,
absolutely, sure.
It's crazy. So you ended up spending a lot of time either in cars or buses. But once you got there, it was worth the wait.
And also on the upside is traveling from A to B is you get to see the country. And the city and the people,
yeah.
And the environment and the vibe. That's pretty cool. And very fortunate to say there was no Ryan Lockheed behavior, right?
None that we've heard of so far.
Yeah, which is awesome. And I would be remiss. Go ahead, please.
Oh, well, no, I just know, you know, it was sad that happened because every athlete on the U.S. team, Olympian and Paralympian, gets amazing training. We get training about what it's like in the country, what expectations are, that you're a role model.
Yes.
And I think, you know, I know a lot of the Paralympian contingents that go down there. I guess I don't know all of them because there's tons of athletes. But they are all well-respected. They work hard. And they realize that it's honestly a gift and that we're thankful to be able to participate and to have this movement and that anyone acting out could really jeopardize that. So I think they all took it very seriously.
So what did you think about the audible medals? First time in history, which is great. I really, really embrace this. All the medals are filled with different size, or actually not size, the amounts. The gold medals are filled with more, silver less,
yep.
And bronze the least amount of small little balls. So for blind and visually impaired athletes, they're audible because they can be shaken.
It was so cool.
It's really neat, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a brilliant idea, and I hope they do continue it because it's pretty cool. It changes it, so you can't say it's a solid medal, so there's different things about that. But what it brings, and I got to hold one and shake them and hear the different noises, it's really neat. I mean, it definitely, most of the medals do have Braille on them, but a lot of visually impaired people don't read Braille.
Absolutely, exactly. In a digital age.
So this brings... Yeah, this brings a whole new element, and I thought it was really creative. I would love to know more about how they came up with that idea. I haven't really looked into that.
There's actually one person I was reading about. The whole background about the whole sustainability, the whole medals, the ribbons, and the lack of medals, and it was pretty amazing. So if you Google that, you can find a lot of interesting information. So there's one person that was tasked with developing this. But I can see already in maybe 2020, the commercials for the Paralympics with the medals, you can hear like they're all shaking them, like, and you can make a song like back and forth or over the Paralympic anthem. It would be amazing, right?
I think you need to get on that campaign, Mark.
Hey, put me on the advisory board. I'd be absolutely honored to be on there. So you and your husband had a great time. How many days were you there?
We were there for a total of 9 days.
9 days. Great. And it ended on the 18th. It was really well done. No complaints. Fabulous country. Are you planning your next trip in 2020 to Tokyo?
Oh, I'd be honored if I could get there and be a part of whether it be the IPC or the USOC's groups. It's always such a great rush. And it's truly to be a part of the whole movement. It's inspiring for me. To see how far we've come and how we're changing societies just through sport. Pretty cool.
I'm by no means a professional athlete, a very avid athlete, But for me, it's so hard to stay on the sidelines, Muffy Davis. And last question I want to ask you is, how difficult is it for you to not to want to like jump over the wall and start, you know, getting involved and perform and doing your what you're made of, a complete athlete?
Yeah, you know, it. I was wondering, because this was the 4 years since I won my gold medal, so I got to watch the other athletes win in the class that I had won my gold medal, and my husband was worried that I was going to want to come back. But, you know, I feel like I had done my duty, and I know how much work it is to get to the top of that podium.
Sure.
That while I love being there, I don't miss
in-between time.
The sacrifices that I had to make and the training and all of that. And it's, you know, I'm honored to be able to be involved on the other side and helping plan and organize and being involved and staying involved in the movement. I think that's one of my big passions, is that we really need to keep these athletes, all the athletes in the movement, they're very valuable, and we need to keep them involved in some way or another.
And it's pivotal that you're taking more of a mentor road lead, I should say, and also as an organizer, because that's the duty that we have. I mean, you did your performance. You did great. I mean, a lot of people don't even get close to the level of an athlete that you are, and the fact that you have done that and you can provide and give opportunity to so many hundreds of thousands of people, you know, over the course of years, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, no, I feel very blessed that I was able to do that. And then when I get to go back and give back and be on the other side, and you realize how many people work so hard so that you can get up there and try your best to have a peak performance and reach your dreams, it's pretty humbling. And so it's an honor to be a part of this movement.
Muffy Davis, you're a good friend of the show.
Thanks, Mark. You take care.
Thank
Happy
you so much,
birthday.
Time. Oh, thank you so much. And I know you moved recently, so I hope you have unpacked all those boxes.
Oh, no, I'm sitting here looking at lots of them.
Oh, no, forget it. Walk out the door or something else. Talk to you soon, Muffy. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mark. Bye-bye.
7-time Paralympian Muffy Davis, great person. I interviewed her years ago when she was involved with the Paralympics, when I was with a former company, and we just clicked, and she's just a great person through and through. So today's show it's a great show because it involves a lot of different facets. By the way, it's 11:32 in New York here. My name is Mark Farrell. The show is Progressive Radio Network Insight. Always find it on PRN.FM. And of course, you can always call in at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. You know I'm a music head. And with Bruce's book being released today, actually on the 27th, we're going to be talking about that in a few minutes. But more importantly, because the fabric of music today as we know it was built by four guys. They came over in the 60s and really revolutionized music as we know it today. And certainly many, many books and countless films have been made about the Beatles. But Ron Howard's new movie, Beatles, 8 days a week, the touring days, really kind of touches on rare live footage that's never been seen. And we're going to kick it off with a touch of this.
We captured Liverpool, London. We were out to capture the world.
This mania was so much pressure.
We were kids. We were all pretty scared.
It's a miracle in a way they didn't go mad.
Well, we had each other,
and we brought that to the music.
Oh, I think they passed the audition. Michelle Spitz is my guest. Michelle has been on the show. She's a friend of the show, and she does audio description, and she is a fabulous person. Hello, Michelle. How are you?
Hi, man.
Get a little closer to that microphone.
I'm doing great.
Oh, my God. Listen to those pipes. And that's all natural. There's no bottle whiskey or a carton of cigarettes next to her. That's amazing. How are you, my dear?
I'm doing great. How about you?
How thrilled were you to become part of this incredible movement that Ron Howard built? Well, the Beatles built it, of course, but Ron Howard encapsulated everything for this particular movement. And more importantly, that you realize the importance of audio description for people who are blind and visually impaired. I mean, there's so many mediums out there nowadays who are catering to people with disabilities. Obviously, we just heard from Muffy Davis in Paralympics and the evolution of sport. And this is no different because people have to live life and they should experience certainly a vital part of life, which is music.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was a really exciting project to be involved in. I solicited the audio description. I brought the idea to Whitehorse Productions, who was producing with Ron Howard and Apple, which was all the Beatles members. And it took a while to sort of go through the loops of all these individuals to convince them this should be done. So I donated the audio description to Whitehorse Productions.
Wow.
And it will be part of their DVD. It's part of the U.S. release in theaters that have the headsets. And it's been an incredible project to work on. It was so much fun. And the audio description was mostly as far as providing information, text on screen, identifying people, individuals, what was happening in the film. And much of it was accompanied by the actual footage, the conversation, the music, all else that takes place in this film, which is very fast moving.
So, for example, what the clip we just heard, you would say yeah. Paul McCartney speaks?
Possibly. There has to be okay. room in between.
Sure.
So if there's no room, I can't overlap them. But if I have a moment in there, I will say Paul McCartney on screen, or Paul McCartney is sitting on a chair in an old house in London, what have you, or studio or what have you. So it's very fast-paced film, but definitely necessary to have the audio description to accompany it, whether it's a lot of it or less of it, so that the visually impaired person in the audience has the opportunity to take the film in its entirety, which is, it's a wonderful thing to have for them, so that they have it indefinitely in their repertoire.
What I find fascinating, Michelle Spitz, is that Ron Howard obviously is a huge name, been in the business for years. Whitehorse Productions, another huge name. Apple, of course. Now, was this something that they never even entertained, having audio description?
Whitehorse Productions brought Ron Howard in. So this is really, I think, was initiated by Whitehorse. So Whitehorse was not necessarily, as a smaller documentary organization, doing audio description ongoing, whereas Ron Howard does with a lot of his large films through Universal. So this is a new concept for Whitehorse, I think, or let's say relatively new, and one of which I think they're going to start implementing because this was a learning curve for them. And once they learned more about it and decided that not as many theaters had the equipment, they pushed for more for the additional release that's happened. And they are also encouraging Hulu, who currently isn't using audio description because they're launching it on their documentary series
Fantastic.
For a year,
Great.
Encouraging them to perhaps consider
All right. Fingers crossed.
Ahead of the mandate mm-hmm. to possibly implement this.
If when that is the happens, mandate?
Mandate's a year. Actually, no, they have 2 years. The audio description and the film are available to them for 1 year because it's a contract with Hulu, and the mandate is a 2-year process. So they have up to 2 years, but if they were to implement it in the near future in this year, it would be a really wonderful step moving forward.
We encourage them to. And now, who is this mandated by?
That's the Department of Justice.
Oh, great. Fantastic. And when was this instituted in terms of being the mandated put in place?
I think this summer.
Wow. Fantastic.
Yeah, early this summer.
So now when people go to the movies or look up on your iPhone or smartphone or computer, when you see AD, that stands for audio description,
That's
DVS,
right.
Description Video Services. Everyone's familiar with CC, closed caption.
That's right.
Now, you would think certainly before the mandate, it would be a win-win situation for any production company and or distribution company, because if they're not doing it because they have the reason, that rationale of like, wow, this is the right thing to do, well, it's also going to drag more people out to the theaters who are blind and visually impaired and also end or buy or rent your video or film.
That's right. That's right. So it benefits them all the way around. It's actually a win-win. It's a win-win for the theater owners. It's a win-win for the audience and patrons themselves. And in addition, of course, now everything is streaming, and so everything's coming through Netflix, which is audio described. And in the future, you'll see Amazon, all of them will begin to do this. So you'll have the luxury of going to the movie theaters should you choose to, and hopefully all of the equipment will be working in the next few years, and there'll be some general technology like a smartphone that will give you the ability for things to work on your end. And in addition to that, you'll have the streaming opportunity to have the privacy of your home to do this. So I think it's going to be more universal within the next couple of years here. We're moving slowly, but it's moving faster in some ways as well.
Are there any countries more advanced down the
yes.
road than us?
Which Absolutely, the UK, for sure. All their theaters have audio description available
all their
to them.
Theaters.
Yeah.
So hundreds of thousands, I imagine.
Lots. And their live theater also is all audio described. It's paid for by the government and through charitable organizations. In the United States, we're funding it and pulling together funds to make this happen. I believe Brazil, Canada, Australia, possibly Germany.
Well, this is really, it's great news to hear, but it's very disenchanting for us in this country.
That's right. It is. It is. On the other hand, people like me are sitting.
Spearheading and blazing
and spearheading
trails.
And sponsoring and funding the audio description and voicing it and donating my voice for as many projects as I can, especially those about disability and or something like a music film, which is a universal concept that we're all going to enjoy. And there's no reason not to have it accessible. So the idea is that one day, hopefully everything will be. And we're moving in that direction. And I think once that sort of moves forward, others will follow suit. But there are some things that are going to have to come in place and things that are going to comply to that make it happen. But we're moving there. We're
absolutely
getting there slowly.
And I wasn't able to, unfortunately, with the lack of preparation today. You weren't here. There was major snarls this morning, traffic and accidents and train derailments or whatever. So we weren't able to extract some audio from some previous work of yours. But think about this, listeners, PRN listeners. The power of the human voice. You're listening to us. You're not watching us right now. You could, but we didn't turn on the high definition camera this morning because my hair looks like complete crap because I ran 35,000 blocks to get here. Anyway, that's why I have five bottles of Poland Spring water here. The power of imagery. I mean, radio has always been theater of the mind.
That's right.
So as you enjoy audiobooks, as you enjoy listening to the Progressive Radio Network, especially Insight on Thursday starting at 11 o'clock with yours truly, with riveting guests, you understand how important it is. So just as audio description would benefit someone watching a movie, has there been a movie that you've seen or wanted to see and purposely sought out because you wanted to see the and hear the audio description of something that would give you, when you were first starting out, like an eye-opening experience? Pardon the pun.
Oh, I think many of the mainstream movies that have come out in the theater that require a lot more audio description, the main sort of like a Star Wars film or a Disney film, I'm often always curious to hear how those played out. So I will take the headset and I will listen. And there's so many variations of description. There's a lot of programming for children, and that's very animated description because we're painting a picture with words and we're giving it life. Then there are more serious subject matters that require a different tone. And there's so many variations within audio description itself. And there's, of course, multiple languages we're dealing with and subtitles. And that requires another voice. So we
this
don't
is a whole sub-industry
people.
Within the industry.
Absolutely.
And now, of course, we know there's a great deal of talent involved with actually the production, the stars, the actors and actresses. Now, this is a whole another aspect. So there are actually casting calls for this.
There are. And individuals that are typically already in the acting world or broadcasting or voiceovers are sort of migrating to some of this now. There's going to be a larger need for it. And a lot of them are acclimating very well. Someone like myself, I my background's broadcasting and I'm an information provider, so I want to provide the information.
You are a wealth of information.
And that's, I see it as providing information, painting a picture with words. So my tone is one particular tone. Someone else will be a little bit different than myself, depending on the content of the film. But I do a lot of documentaries.
Is this something that you found that you had to work on differently as your former broadcasting or still a broadcaster?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a whole different niche.
Time-coded, paced a certain way. You have to be able to listen to the audio in your headset, possibly watch the film, and carefully insert the description when needed, quickly, slowly, what have you. It's an art form. It really is an art. It's almost algebraic in its sort of time coding. But the work itself, I consider incredibly heart-driven and valuable to me. So I really massage that work very carefully.
I didn't think we'd be mentioning two words today, algebraic and massage. But I'm glad we did. Lastly, now, it's this Friday night or a Saturday morning, wherever the case may be. You ever just go into your room and just have the drapes closed or something covering your eyes and listen to the audio description that you have done?
Absolutely.
And how does that feel? Is it?
It's a very interesting experience.
Yeah,
I do it late at night, and I'm usually
transcending.
My headset
I imagine.
On. It's very interesting. You know, we're all very critical of ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I'm listening, and at some point I'll think, this is really wonderful. At other times I might be more self-critical. But I realize that the purpose I've served is so extraordinary and that I've bridged a gap of communication where everyone gets to have the same experience.
And I imagine a vital component we all have to relate to this is the environment. Just like when we go into the movies now with the chairs that basically simulate your bed that go way back. Not that I have a leather bed, but hey, note to self. 50 years old, get a leather bed. Why not? goes with that. Okay, we won't mention that. But that's a vital component because the environment is everything. You're relaxed. Maybe you're drinking something cool or popcorn, et cetera. Yeah. You're in the moment of a movie. And it's movie is obviously it's transcending and it takes you to a different place. It's escapism at its best. And the same thing that you're providing a valuable, invaluable service, Michelle Spitz. Yeah. I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And it must have been amazing just to be connected with Ron Howard's movie. I mean, the Beatles. And you went to the premiere.
I went to the premiere in London
with your brother, who is an avid, avid fan.
Huge. So, everybody was there. Ringo Starr, everybody.
You can do no wrong with him, I
imagine. I will never forget this moment in my lifetime from the beginning to the end of this project. It was an honor, actually.
And quickly, very, very interesting fact about yourself that you're entrenched in so many different aspects, but you're also part of the Tribeca Film Festival, a panel.
That's correct. Joanne and myself will be involved. Joanne Dean and myself will be involved in Tribeca Film School, and we'll be putting a panel together about accessibility for the deaf and the blind. And we're also speaking about doing something at the festival itself. So we're making the rounds to educate filmmakers and post-production studios about what audio description is within the realm of film and media.
And the Tribeca Film Festival typically has one submission per year?
For the panels?
For films done by persons with disabilities.
I don't know what their situation is with that. My situation with that is New York Women Television Film, which is a panel.
Right.
That's a different one. But Tribeca, we're involved with panels. So they're all different entities. And BAFTA, I'm now creating the first grant ever for a student with a disability to create film. And it's part of my grant. So I'm covering my bases, whether it's the filmmakers themselves, artists themselves, patrons, whatever it is, I will be sure that they're involved.
And moviegoers. Yeah,
and
moviegoers.
Fantastic. All of them.
Michelle Spitz, all the best to you. And thank you so much for always making time for us when you come into New York City. And give San Francisco a big kiss for me.
I shall. Thank you.
Don't be a stranger. Thursday's like Friday Eve. Isn't it great? Even though it's been a very hectic day. I needed that time just to be able to say goodbye to my guests. Get another drink of water. Get organized here because, again, it's just been kind of a nutsy day. Hopefully yours is a little less entertaining. But thanks always for listening. And I always love your feedback at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. So we all know and love this man, right?
It started in 2009 after we played the Super Bowl. I wrote the little essay for a website. I felt like I found a good voice to write in with it. I said, well, maybe I'll try to write a little bit more in that voice and see where it takes me, you know? And I didn't have any idea of whether it was going to be a book or something else, or maybe just something for the kids, you know? So I just started, went back to what I felt was the beginning and slowly started to write, you know? And I think after 2 or 3 weeks, I had a little bit of something that I could look at and say, that feels pretty workable. And then after that, I wrote intermittently for 7 years, you know, and there was no rush. Mainly, I was just trying to write it as well as I could, and having all that time to do it kind of gave me a chance to come back to it fresh. Even for my original manuscript, everything was rewritten 2 or 3 times. Very similar to the songwriting process.
So if you were in Freehold, New Jersey on Tuesday, you were really happy and one of the lucky 2,000 people to be in line. And maybe as like it took Bruce 7 years to write that book, maybe it felt like 7 years to actually get in. And joining me is someone from Freehold, New Jersey, actually an old high school friend of mine who I'm so dear to connect with, Jamie Sorcher. You may know her as Gadget Girl on ESPN, and she's an incredible journalist as well. Jamie, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
How psyched are you to meet one of your favorite iconic persons of your lifetime?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, I'm not getting any younger, so it was really nice to be able to, you know, check that off and feel like it was the meeting of a lifetime. And even as brief as it was to meet him in Freehold, you know, the fact you went to Freehold Borough High School just like I did, and he is, you know, the mascot of that town. I mean, he has done so much and brought so much to our town that to be able to see him in Freehold was an incredible experience.
So it's been a couple of days. You probably have leafed through a few chapters. What's your take so far?
Well, the truth is I haven't even opened it because I don't want to start it and stop it. I want to start it this weekend when I can sit down and get through a couple of chapters. But I will tell you that my mom bought the book when the store reopened after the whole experience where he did the signing from 12 to 4. They reopened to the public at 5. She went and bought a book for my brother. And my father, who owns a store in Freehold for many years, a shoe store where Bruce Springsteen actually got his shoes as a little boy. So, you know, and he did so much writing in the book, Bruce, about freehold, that my dad, you know, just kind of picked up the book and started looking at it. And my mom felt so bad trying to take the book away to give it back to my brother to send it to him that she went yet back again and bought another book for my father. So
that's great.
Our house, we have three books. He's going to have no problem selling, you know, all these copies.
Especially when he's got, I believe, six or seven more dates of this caliber where it's 2,000 people apiece. And you said it was very, very fluid. It was very much like a military operation that 2,000 people got in a couple at a time. You purchase the book, you come out. And then finally, tell me about when you actually approach Bruce and how it was expedited at that point.
Well, what's interesting is they really did run it like a military operation. And when you first went in, you were able to get, you bought the book, but only got the receipt for the book. Then you had to come back out. Then they took you 20 in at a time, and they wove you through the magazine section, through the children's section. It was this winding, winding road until you finally got to him in the back. And, you know, as we were approaching, you know, there were people in line like, I can see him, I can see him. So, you know, you started to, the anticipation
sure.
started to build. And then when you did get within a few people of where he was on the platform, there was a woman, you know, I mean, just, you know, with straight face, hand me your pocketbook, give your phone to this woman. Then, you know, they grabbed your arm, they stepped you up on the podium. He was pleasant and courteous to everyone. I mean, it was a warm greeting to every single person, you know, ahead of me and behind me. And basically you turned, you said a few words to him, and you were gone. It lasted probably 6 or 7 seconds.
A true gentleman. Sounds like a true Bruce form. Apparently he was reported that he kissed every woman, shook every guy's hand, and for every child or a small, you know, small child, he'd get down on his knee, and that's Bruce. I mean, he's just a regular guy. Took like a minimal break, and for hours, you know, 4 hours, just greeting people. That's pretty amazing, huh?
It was amazing. And look, I'd be lying to you if I didn't share the full, you know, experience of being in line. I mean, the women were primping. I mean, they were putting on lipstick and fixing their hair.
Oh, sure.
And, I mean,
this is their one shot, right?
Right.
To steal Bruce away from his beloved wife.
And I will tell you this, it was funny too, because there were two younger guys in front of me, and they kept checking their phone. How much battery? How much battery? Is your phone on? So nobody wanted to miss, you know, that moment when you were going to get the picture, because that was just, I mean, unexpected. I knew there'd be the meet and greet, but when I saw that you'd also get a picture, that was
that topped it all.
Correct.
Now, you forewent the short skirt and stilettos, but you had a different wardrobe in mind. Please tell me about that quickly.
Well, I did want to wear like something really funky and fashionable, but when it came down to getting dressed in the morning and getting out the door, I put on jeans, I put on a flannel, a T-shirt, and a newsboy cap, because in so many of his early pictures, he could rock that look. I mean, he knew how to put himself together. He just has a great look. He has great style. He definitely can sing, but he can write. So I tried to put that all into that outfit, and I did say to him when I got up there, the newsboy cap is for you, Bruce. And he's like, hey, thanks, man. So
was it everything you expected it to be and more?
It was great. I have to say it was so fast, but it was, I mean, I have the picture. I look at it. We're both smiling. He's a genuine guy. It's a moment I will never forget, and I would do it all again. I would, I mean, if I had to lose my job, if I had to, you know, climb mountains, whatever it meant to get there, I was going to be there in Freehold
Good
the day that
you.
Book came out.
Well, you know, it's so fitting that he did something of that caliber in his hometown. I mean, he's obviously a legend in the Jersey Shore area. And the fact that he's written so much about it, I mean, it's all his hardships growing up there, how he was, you know, a band bar legend down there in Asbury Park, and he just mastered so much. And the fact that, most importantly, he's just a humble guy walking the streets of Freehold, Asbury Park, Long Branch, you name it. And that's amazing. And I'm really happy that you and 1,999 other people in the area got the experience that. Jamie Sorcher, thank you so much. And we're going to have you in for a proper interview as well, because you have a very interesting life as well, certainly with all that you've done and all the media and all your writing that you still do. Where can we find you?
Well, check out my website, jamiesgotagadget.com.
jamiesgotagadget.com. I should have my breakfast soon before lunch. Jamie Sorcher, all the best to you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And it's really interesting to find out that, you know, after all these years, all these awards, all these millions of albums that he sold, that he is just still the person that he is. And here he is when he found out that Prince had passed with his dedication. My name is Mark Farrell. The show has been Insight on Progressive Radio Network. Always email me at mark@markfarrellmotivation.com. If you'd like to meet, speak at your school, college, or organization on overcoming adversity, self-entitlement, mental health, etc., and more, mark@markfarrellmotivation.com. Have a great day. Thanks to Jesse and Zach. You rock.